I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. It's 4:32 p.m. the 21st of July, 2020. I've got some interesting clips. They're rather long, and they deal with the coronavirus and what's going on right now. Some of this stuff is probably going to trigger some people. Just stay calm, stay neutral, positive, try to listen to it. It may go against your personal beliefs or your personal point of view on this, but I think it's good to get some different perspectives sometimes. So let's sit back and give this a listen.
Just don't buy any of the COVID lies versus the average liberal progressive Democrat who buys and sells all of the lies, wants to wear a mask, make you wear a mask, shut down the economy, keep the kids home from school. I mean, that dichotomy, it plays out on every issue, but it's the same thing. Who wants to be free and who would gladly enslave themselves to make you a slave?
And it's also who is going to just slavishly follow experts as authorities that you don't question. And when we look at this, it breaks down pretty clearly by demographics and by political party. First, by demographics. In terms of face mask usage, those people who said that they will always use it, we'll just talk about that figure here, 34% of males, but 54% of females. When you look at political parties, Republicans only 24%, but Democrats 61%, and the independents are somewhere in the middle, about
40%. See, I didn't even know those numbers.
One interesting thing about masks is that the masks are really designed to stop droplets. Droplet suppression, like, you know, from your speaking where a little saliva might fly out. But as far as I know, there's really no masks that can stop a virus. A virus is so small that you can only look at it with an electron microscope. So the masks are really only effective in droplet suppression. And the problem is you're not getting enough oxygen, and you're also storing up all your own exhales there with all the carbon dioxide and germs. It can actually make you kind of sick, or you can have hypoxia where you can pass out from lack of oxygen.
I saw this in real time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But see, part of this is that we understand, because we do value freedom, we understand and have understood from the very beginning that if no matter how bad this disease was, you don't fight it by shutting down food production, by shutting down medicine, by shutting down everything else in your society. All you do is add another layer of problems to what was already there. And so that's not the right way to do this. You don't suspend the Constitution. You don't treat everybody as if they had the disease. You don't even know they've got the disease. And that's really where the face mask issue is, Owen. I was talking about that today. I said, this really is the issue, the hill to die on, because if we don't stop this, they are laying out the psychological framework to tell us what they're telling us with a face mask is you don't wear a face mask to protect yourself. You wear it to protect other people. We've heard that before, right, with vaccines. And the vaccines are what are on the way. And so if you're going to embrace this doublethink about face masks, oh, well, they don't work, but, you know, somehow it protects other people, even though I can't be protected by it, then you're going to embrace this vaccine nonsense that's going to be pushed. That's what this is really about. It's about psychological preparation. If you look at these experts, 2 or 3 months ago, they were telling us exactly the opposite, and then they come back and they try to carve back those lies by saying, well, we didn't have enough N95 masks. But, well, we had bandanas and we had cloth masks, right, which are absolutely ineffective. As a matter of fact, Jonathan Turley, I talked about it today, he said, if you want to fight these face mask regulations, wear an anti-mask. You know, just wear the picture of the guy going through a Walmart in Tampa, and he's got, like, open holes in it. I mean, you can see his face through it.
Yeah, wear a pair of Victoria's Secret women's lingerie.
Exactly. Or anything. I mean, it doesn't – because it's about compliance. He said he did that, and nobody said anything to him about it. I played a clip this morning from a lady who went to a grocery store in Colorado, and I mean, people were about to, they did get physically violent with her. One person rammed their cart into her. They're yelling and screaming at her. They called the police on her because she didn't have a mask. I mean,
is that the one with the big ugly who came up and was yelling right in front of the baby, too?
I think this is another one. I don't think there was a baby involved. I mean,
this girl comes up, she does the same thing, shoves him with the cart, is screaming. at this lady for not having a mask on. Her mask keeps falling off, by the way. And there's a baby that she's screaming at, basically. But, you know, I don't know if you've seen this. Let me see. Guys, do we have the clip of the one man in a wheelchair who was getting harassed? Let's play this, David. I don't know if you've seen this or not. A man was going through the grocery store. He had a health condition. He's actually even in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
It just shows you how sick these people are. And he was getting harassed. Here was the interchange.
Pardon me? Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
I have a medical condition.
You mean a wheelchair?
I'm in a wheelchair. Get the fuck away from me. What are you, Karen? What are you? Shut up. I have a medical reason.
So again, the reason why this video is low is because the guy's in a wheelchair. So he comes up, he says, wear a mask. The guy in the wheelchair says, I have a health condition. Can't you see the wheelchair? He's like, I don't care. Wear the mask. Yeah. Again, these people would gladly put shackles on their own ankles and wrists as long as it meant you got shackled too.
Well, you know, they did that, a similar thing like that, to a mother who had a child with autism, and they said, you can't come in the park. And she said, well, he can't wear a mask. He can't put anything on his face, right, because he's got autism. And they kicked them out. And so she got some people that were on the side of Americans with Disabilities Act and so forth to come after these park officials who kicked her son with autism out of the park. She said, first of all, he can't breathe with it on. Secondly, nothing, a face shield, nothing is going to work because you're not going to put anything on his head. He doesn't understand. He's going to fight it. And this is the intolerance that is being engendered with people. It is obsessive compulsive disorder. It is a psychological operation of fear and propaganda, and that's what has to be fought. These Republicans who will kind of halfway say, well, you know, I think it's a good thing to wear a mask, and I always wear a mask. I'm sorry you saw me on an airplane without a mask and so forth. They play easy with that instead of tackling the non-science, instead of tackling this authoritarian Stasi society that's being created. Instead of pushing back against Fauci's lies, they kind of go along with it, and that's going to be fatal to us.
And by the way, Burks, you remember the old scarf lady? She's come out and said she believes the CDC is inflating death numbers by as much as 25%. Well, that's a low ball. It's a lot higher than that. But and notice how she got sidelined. You never see her anymore because she realized, oh, crap, they're faking this whole pandemic. But it's so ridiculous in its basic nature. Literally, you'd have two people going around and they can wear a mask. And let's say it's a man and a woman on a date. And the guy's like, hey, baby, you know, let's go to bed. Let's get intimate. And she's like, oh, but what about the COVID? He says, don't worry. We'll wear masks. Okay. That's literally what this is like. Oh, I'm going to wear a mask while I'm having sex with you, and that'll stop COVID. It's like these officers, same thing happened to me, David. These officers come up if you're not wearing a mask, and they arrest you. And what are they doing? They're putting their hands all over you.
Yeah.
They're touching your hands. They're touching your face. They're groping you, rubbing up on you. Oh, but the mask, though. The mask is going to stop the COVID, even though it gets through the mask and they're touching you and spitting on you and everything. It's just, oh, yeah. And Fauci also says, you know, continue to use Grindr and Tinder. That's because he's active on there. He's looking for a little action on the side. So Fauci is still live on Tinder if you want to hit him up. He can give you some good COVID. All right. We'll get into more of this when we come back.
Well, I hope you got through that without having your blood pressure go up too much. There's a lot of ways to look at this stuff. I know not everyone has the same perspective. I'm going to bring up another clip here. Hang in there. This is more information that might be shocking to some folks. So anyway, hang tough just a minute.
Let me give you some facts.
Continue.
This I saw tweeted out by Dr. David Samadi. He said, this is a wonderful graphic from the state of Ohio. While COVID-19 is an incredibly serious virus, look at it in perspective. And what they did was they showed the number of tests given, 1 million tests. And he does this graphically. And there you go. Good. He's got it graphically. 1 million tests, and they had 69,000 people positive. That's 7%. So 93% did not test positive. 7% tested positive. Of that, they had 3,000 deaths, according to the CDC. That would give you a case fatality rate of 0.3%. Now, if you look at the Texas Department of Public Health, last week or 2 weeks ago when they came out and said, well, we got the statewide mask regulation from Abbott, And then he had the state flunky who was head of the health department coming out saying, you better start wearing masks inside your own home. We're not going to enforce that just yet, but you better start wearing it inside your home. At the same time that was coming out, the Texas Department of Health released numbers for this year and the previous 2 year flu seasons. Previous 2 years, 1 year it was 0.3%, the other year it was 0.4%. This year with COVID-19 is 0.1%. So we're one third to one quarter of what we've seen in the past, and yet we've got the entire economy locked down. We've got these guys demanding that we wear masks inside our own homes. This is Republicans.
At the very minimum, and this is at the very minimum, you have a criminal conspiracy brought on by the medical industry to sell vaccines. This is at the minimum. This is the minimum level. I mean, really, this is maximum world enslavement stuff we're talking about here. But at the minimum level that the average person should be able to understand, this is a racketeering, criminal manipulation by the CDC, by the WHO, and the people that are ready to profit, like Fauci and Gates and all their little underlings. They've rebranded the flu, David. That's what they've done. They released the weapon out of China to get people sick. Specifically in that region when it came out, it was probably really deadly, and then it mutated pretty fast and became basically like an average flu bug, I mean, which is a crime against humanity in and of itself that should be addressed, but we can't even get the basic science. So it's like, okay, you rebranded the flu as COVID-19 coronavirus so that you could sell vaccines to 6 billion people. That's what they've done, David, and now they're gearing up to do it.
And let's not forget, it's not just the Chinese. It goes back to Fauci and the NIH. These people are eugenicists, not just because they partner with Gates and they push vaccines. But when Francis Collins, who's head of the NIH, he's Fauci's boss, Collins had been part of the Human Genome Project. And when he went to the NIH, the first thing he did was the Human Connectome Project, because he is a transhumanist. He thinks that he's going to be able to transfer his mind into a robot machine, you know, into a mechanical machine and live forever. That's what these people are focused on. And what Fauci was doing with all this Chinese stuff, they were called on the carpet.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic.
Well, maybe that's enough. That kind of snuck up on us before we were ready. Anyway, crazy stuff. Very interesting. I'm going to shift gears and take us back down to the spiritual teaching, which hopefully will help get us through some of this crazy mess that we're in. In the book Mind of Thoughts on page 92, it's talking about, first of all, drugs. And let me read this. I'm going to bring out some of the important points, I think. Drugs of every kind, therefore also psychotropic drugs, thus many kinds of medications and alcohol, are likewise able to trigger unconscious perceptions. Now, this is huge, unconscious thinking and unconscious recognition. Keep that in mind. The medications that you take or the alcohol that you drink can trigger unconscious perceptions. So you can start perceiving things that you're not even aware of. Unconscious thinking, which you're not aware of that thinking that goes on unconsciously, and unconscious recognition. So I'm not sure exactly how that fits in, but that's interesting. Let me continue. Therefore, unconscious cognition is actually present with that, even when it is not recognizable from the outside. For the human being concerned and for third parties, an unconscious subliminal perceptions are absolutely present with every human being. So this is really fascinating. That means we have perceptions that we're not even aware of, subliminal perceptions. And everyone has these. Consequently, there is thus nobody in whom unconscious cognitions would not be inherent. We're all having unconscious cognitions. And indeed in a form which is body internal as well as body external. I'm not sure what that means. That therefore means that subliminal cognitions can be conditioned by the environment just as much as they can be endogenous and therefore body internal. So, for example, threatening faces and situations are able to call forth very strong emotional reactions or thought feeling based reactions. And you know, I can think of times when I've had thoughts that just seem to come up from a very deep level, and I don't really understand where they come from. You know, I like thoughts that I've never had before, feelings that I've never had before. Sometimes they're not good. Let me continue here. Able to call forth very strong emotional reactions or thought feeling based reactions without the human being consciously perceiving it, consciously thinking about it, and consciously recognizing it, whereby the affected human being also cannot explain why he or she had the corresponding kind of reaction. Yeah, have you ever done that? You know, you reacted like a lot more intensely than you thought you really should have. The most varied personality traits can also be decisive for unconscious cognitions, such as lack of interest in might, affections of might, as well as many other fixed and reflexively operating behavioral structures and processing procedures that are not consciously perceived. Thought about and recognized rather only unconsciously, and are therefore no longer in any wise integrated into a volitional clear and conscious control. Yeah, sometimes these thoughts come out of nowhere, probably unconscious mind, and they don't seem related to your volition. Like you think, wow, why did I have that thought? And the result of that is that especially pronounced unconscious cogitators, for example, neurotics and such people, such persons have especially and increasingly negative feelings. And under certain circumstances, also the same kind of emotions, which are called forth entirely through unconscious perceptions, as well as through unconscious thinking and recognizing. It said earlier in the book when I was reading earlier today about automatic thoughts. And I think these unconscious thoughts are like that. Sometimes they're just automatic. If a human being possesses some abilities, then he slash she can consciously use them, from which a psychical and a conscious-based well-being can grow for him or her. But on the other hand, euphoria is eventually able to arise from that, depending on how the human being steers his or her thoughts in a conscious or unconscious respect and wise. All that which contains mental values or unvalues is steered and created through the might of the conscious and unconscious thoughts. So we're talking about steering our thoughts, controlling our thoughts, making a conscious decision to think in a certain way and not in another way. All that which contains mental values or unvalues is steered and created through the might of the conscious and unconscious thoughts. And unconscious cognitions are often to blame when a human being falls prey to psychical afflictions. For example, when any incapacity of a human being creates in him or her feelings of worthlessness, and so forth. Remember, fear and anxiety destroy knowledge. And another thing we've learned is that, therefore, in every regard, the human being must trust himself. Let me also see if I can find something. It's probably a bad thing to do. It's going to take too much time, but where it was talking about having feelings of worthlessness, which from The Way to Live, we've learned that we should never have feelings of worthlessness. I don't remember exactly what page this was on. Here's something that kind of falls in there. Therefore, you must not oppress yourself through self-chastisement or self-abuse, or through self-disregard or bitterness, or through feelings of inferiority. Don't let those feelings of inferiority kick in. Don't beat yourself up. Sometimes you're doing the right thing, and you're just always not 100% sure. You're kind of still learning, and so forth. Also, just as depravity of one's own eye through flattery of any kind in wise must never arise, self-neglect must never arise. So we shouldn't neglect ourselves. We shouldn't oppress ourselves. We shouldn't self-chastise. This is from page 30, Adyard Suleev in The Way to Live. Let me read a little more here from the top of the page. It says, thus he or she disregards his or her conscience and prefers to run away to where the inner and well-meaning voice of his or her conscience is shouted down by the roar and the tumult of those seeking enjoyment and so forth. This is another thing that we run away from the creational natural laws, and we seek entertainment because we think that that's where the enjoyment is. Well, really, and we've learned this from the creational natural law of striving, that you have to be striving in really order to have true happiness. We're kind of geared that way. You're good to have satisfaction. You're going to have to be striving. So you have to remember that. And that becomes, if you use system in order to that other creational natural law and have the schedule, they try to build the exact schedule, follow it. It, you know, there are going to be things that interrupt that schedule, especially if you have, you know, people you have to deal with or animals you have to deal with. There's going to be unexpected things that shift the schedule a little bit here or there. So I'm still learning with this whole system in order to think, but it's very, very helpful. It has kind of a multiplication occurs, kind of a multiplying. It's a synergistic effect that starts to occur that keeps you enthusiastic, keeps you motivated. We need a very dependable kind of schedule. Something I never realized about myself, because a lot of times I lose my, how can I say this? I'm less motivated, you know. But now that I know this is a creational natural law, I push through those little times where I'm not quite as motivated, and then I usually experience a whole lot more satisfaction. It gives your life more meaning too when you can come up with a schedule and stick to it. I mean, for the whole day, even for the weekend, you know. So don't be pursuing entertainment. You know, yeah, maybe some, but don't. It's a trap. It really, really is. I haven't, you know, I'm learning along with the rest of everyone else that studies the Meyer information. But it's something that's becoming much more clear. I also want to read something about striving from page 12, and it's number 34 in the Way to Live book. The human being works in order to be one with life and the consciousness. So somehow, the way I interpret this is we're going to be one with the consciousness, being the universal consciousness. When we work, we're fulfilling the meaning of our life, and we're one with the universal consciousness to a degree, yes. And to keep in step as well as to form the life. And when we're working, we're forming our life. And to have his or her livelihood and everything necessary. So it's, and maybe livelihood it even expands beyond whatever your day job may be. You know, I mean, part of our livelihood is developing ourselves even beyond our, you know, normal work type job. And it could be learning to play a musical instrument. It could be studying the Meyer information. It could be reading books. It could be walking your dogs, organizing your closet or your garage. All these things are part of this. Let me continue here. Being idle means to veer off the course of life. So the point is here, we don't want to be idle. And this makes me think, you know, how much time should we be allotted every day for watching the YouTube or watching the idiot TV or, maybe not as much. Certainly not as much as we do sometimes. Being idle means to veer off the course of the life and to be estranged from all its dignity, to neglect the advancement into the endlessness and to not understand the sense of the existence. When the human being works, then he or she is like the cosmic harmony which undulates through everything, and which, as if through a soft whispering, lets everything vibrate in love and joy. So there is a tremendous reward to striving. That's page 12, and that's the 34th bullet point or item he's discussing there, which is fantastic. Krishna natural law, striving. Krishna natural law, neutral, positive, equalized thinking. You know, I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm relaxed, I'm cheerful. I'm the master of my own destiny, the forger of my own fortune, the creator of my own good luck. But I know life sends some difficult challenges. And that's the negative inclusion, which helps bring our balance. We don't want to be over positive or we're going to fall over. If we're too negative, we're going to fall over. We don't even really want to be negative. But in order to be realistic, we have to allow certain controlled negative kind of things. The problem is most of us are compulsively negative. Unconsciously, we think negative things. And we get a minute or two into a negative thought before we realize it's negative, and we've done damage to our psyche in that short period of time. So let me continue here in The Might of Thoughts, page 94, which this whole section on unconscious is totally fascinating. Let me continue. Unconscious cognitions are often to blame when a human being falls prey to psychical afflictions. For example, when any incapacity of a human being creates in him or her fears of failure, feelings of worthlessness, and so forth. And that's when we took the jump over into the Art Sulivan book. So do not allow fears of failure and feelings of worthlessness. And what's kind of good is when you can look back on a time when you had a little bit of a fear of failure or fear of your worthlessness, and then you realize, hey, I didn't fail. Hey, I'm not so worthless. So that's all good stuff. Anyway, I know we kind of threw some wild and crazy clips at the beginning of the show, but I think it's good to look at really what's happening. And there's different points of view and different perspectives on what is happening right now, which is the potential breakup of the United States, as Billy has discussed. But the Might of Thoughts and the Way to Live are our anchors and very, very helpful. Anyway, have a great day. Talk to you soon.